This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And we welcome you to another program. We're glad you're here on the middle of the week. Great to see you. And we are here for the next 4 hours, and we hope you'll grab a chair if you're at home, or turn us up a little bit louder if you're in your car. Let's begin with the new number one team in the country in football. Not Alabama. Texas A&M. They're claiming we're number one. At least that's the mindset. Remember, they did finish number four last year, barely missing out on the playoffs. And Jimbo Fisher's had enough of that. He has set the notion in play that we're good enough here to win it all. And a lot of people think it's possible. Let's take a look at the schedule. Kent State, Colorado, New Mexico, no problems there. The annual game against Arkansas, which annually goes to Texas A&M, Mississippi State, and here comes Alabama. You think that will be one of the biggest games of the year in college football? Bet on it. At Missouri, South Carolina at home, Auburn at home, at Ole Miss, Prairie View, and at LSU. I see a couple of games there that could be a problem, but A&M fans, not concerned whatsoever. Another team that's thinking they may have a shot at number one, at least their fans are hoping, maybe not demanding, but yeah, JT Daniels trying to take Georgia to a national championship. If you're under the age of 40, you have never seen that happen before. It has been 40 years since the Dogs won it all. About time to do it again, wouldn't you say? Meanwhile, at Tennessee, the apology tour of the volunteer players continues. Another one saying, I'm sorry, Caden Salter apologizes for my negative choices. I wish someone would take my apology for all the negative choices I've made. I'm open for the apology tour if you want. Meanwhile, Tennessee Vols basketball star Keon Johnson has said, I am ready for the NBA. Keon's a great player, and he has declared for the NBA draft. So, a football player apologizing, a basketball player at UT saying, I'm ready to leave. And stop me if you've seen this headline before. USA Today earlier, LSU faces second federal investigation into the handling of sexual misconduct allegations. Also, if you remember, we were told by Andrea Gallo this week that there's a hearing, and the school has essentially said, we will send written statements. But because of litigation, that's really what they're saying, because of the current litigation, none of their top people, including Scott Woodward and Coach O, will testify. What are we going to do here today other than take your phone calls? And by the way, you want to get in, that's a good time to do it. Andy Staples joining us in a few minutes. Always great to have him on. Mike Oresko, the commissioner of the American. We'll ask him if what happened in football, in basketball this week, could happen in football. You had Baylor winning a national championship. What about his league in football? Cincinnati, a lot of other possibilities. We'll talk to him about the current state of the playoff as well. And Booger McFarland on the draft and what he thinks about the upcoming college football season. We also will take your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Let's get right to it. Let's not waste another minute and begin with Will, who is in Birmingham. Will, thanks. Good afternoon.
Shalom, Mr. Feinbaum.
Hey there.
I wanted to bring to everyone's attention, I'm sure you're well aware of it, the passing of the late Mr. Bill Lumpkin at age 92. And I know that we've discussed in some length before your relationship with the late Mr. John Forney and his friendship and mentorship to you, and I would just... There's an excellent article in the Birmingham News today on Bill Lumpkin and his relationship with the SEC coaches of his era. And I would like for you just take a moment and discuss your friendship with Bill Lumpkin and his mentorship to you as a young sports writer. And I will hang up and listen to your response and just wish God's richest blessings on both you and your dear wife.
Thank you so much, Will. I can't tell you what that means to us. Bill hired me at the Birmingham Post-Herald and was not only my mentor, but my dear friend. And I can say without equivocation that I would not have a career without him. He was critically important to the molding of the early part of my career, which was critical to everything I did afterwards. But beyond that, I learned almost everything about the industry from him. We sat next to each other in the newspaper. We talked constantly. When they moved me up after a couple of reckless years as a reporter to become a columnist alongside Bill, I leaned on him for almost everything I did. I wanted his blessing. I was a young 23, 24-year-old reporter, and I really did. I thought I knew everything, but I still listened to him, and he kept me in check because, like a lot of young, aggressive, ambitious, overzealous people at that age, whether it's reporting or any other industry, you can spin out of control pretty quickly, and I nearly did, and I would have without his guidance on what turned out to be one of the most important stories of my career. I did it with him, and had I not been able to do it with him, I would not have had a career after that. I was trending that much toward disaster. I stayed in touch with Bill, long past our working relationship. He retired in 1994, and I was honored to be asked to write the tribute to him in the newspaper on the day of his final his final article. And I went back and read it the other day, and it was impossible not to have tears of joy because of what he did and what he stood for. And that's a part of my career that I don't really remember much anymore because of what I do here and have done on radio, but when I think of my newspaper days, Bill Lumpkin is the first person that I think of, and because he was the most important person. So I thank you for asking that question. I really do. And we talked to Bill's son, Bill Lumpkin III, the other on Monday. He called up, and I did not realize this. I know he said it at the time, but I was too confused. He had called the show about 4:30, and he wanted to speak to me off the air. I read an article about this today. This is how I found this out, and there was some confusion, obviously. And he ended up going on the air where he told me about his dad's passing, and I think he felt badly, but I felt worse for him. Obviously, I just didn't know what do you say when you learn of something like that? We've all been there before. So thank you for asking, Will. I really appreciate that. We'll take a short break. We have plenty of guests to come as we continue here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we are back here on a Wednesday afternoon. Always great to have you with us. More of your phone calls in a few minutes. But right now, let us welcome our friend Andy Staples from The Athletic to the program. Of course, so much going on, Andy. We were talking to Andrea Adelson the other day. She said you two were coaching together in the Florida State spring game. I'm a little concerned about that. The Florida State can't do any better than a couple of Florida communication students.
Well, you know, listen, they're on the climb. That's their theme right now. They've had a little rough patch, so the Florida State grads want to wait and see if they're going to get back. But you know, Andrea and I have very big plans for this thing. We're going to do an all-trick play offense. I'm already drawing up a punt Ruski. We're going to find the next Leroy Butler. It's going to be amazing. So I cannot wait for this. I hope Mike Norvell does not expect anything that looks like actual football, because that's not what I intend to run. You know, we both Andrea and I were at Florida when the ball coach was there. So we think we may break out a little Emory and Henry. And, you know, if that works, I think Florida State should add this up to the playbook.
Andy, what does it say about the rivalry that this is happening? I mean, can you imagine back in the day in the 90s that with Bowden and Spurrier that a Florida grad would be going to Tallahassee for the spring game to participate?
I don't think that would have happened. I think that we've probably been blocked from Bill Campbell Stadium. Although, you know, it's interesting because there was a lot of mutual respect between the two programs back then. I realized that, you know, if you watched Danny Werfel getting hit kind of around the echo of the whistle, you might not think that. Yeah. But everybody in Gainesville knew how good they were. Everybody in Tallahassee knew how good Florida was. And I would like, for the sake of the state and college football, for it to get back to that. I mean, I think you've seen these swings in this rivalry where Florida dominated when Urban Meyer was there. Florida State dominated for much of the Jimbo Fisher era. And now Florida's been dominant. They need to be able to trade blows. And I think that's the thing that Mike Norvell's got to get back. You know, they've got their own measuring stick in the division with Clemson, obviously. But Florida isn't quite where Clemson is, so it might be the next measuring stick that the Seminoles want to use, and they got a lot of work to do right now.
Well, I don't want to offer too much advice. That sounds so prosaic coming from, you know, the elder statesman in the conversation, but I was asked to coach Alabama in the year after their national championship, and I was pretty excited. You know, I put on the Alabama uniform. I mean, there were 95,000 people there, as you can imagine. And I walked in the locker room, and I really thought I was supposed to coach. And finally, Jim McElwain, who was in charge of the Crimson, he said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I'm." He said, "Would you just get out of here? I mean, I'm coaching the team." Like, that was a good moment for Jim McElwain when you compare it to some of the latter day moments that he's had. But I found myself really looking for something to do on the sideline the entire game, trying to look important because I knew friends were up in the stands watching. So, just a little bit of advice, Andy.
As Jim McElwain would say, that's pretty neat, Paul. And yet, I hear that Andrea and I are going to get I hear that Andrea and I are going to get some real duties. Now, I think things are going to be simplified for us. Like, I don't think we're going to have to know actual play names. I think we're going to get kind of a numbered play sheet, and there are going to be some very basic things. I doubt there are a lot of exotic blitzes being called in this game, so I don't think we have to worry too much about, you know, having our quarterback shift protections, that sort of thing. So I think we're going to be okay. But I would just, I mean, If there's a way for me to call four verticals every time, I might try to do it. Although, here's the thing, Paul. I used to work for Andrea. Back when we were students, we were at the University of Florida, at the student paper at the Independent Florida Alligator. She was the sports editor. I was the assistant sports editor. So I'm pretty sure she's going to want to be the boss here. So I'm going to have to just be the coordinator and do it. And I think she's going to be a Lincoln Riley type head coach. She's going to call plays. So I just have to get in where I can fit in there.
I agree. And the one thing that I will say, even though I had no responsibility, although the halftime was hilarious, the game, ESPN had the game, and it was a two-hour block. And at 3 o'clock, the game ended tied. So they went off to the Nebraska spring game. But Saban demanded there be a winner. And my team, thanks to A.J. McCarron, threw a winning pass and won it. But for the next 3 days, everybody said, "Hey, well, I guess you tied." I said, "We won." I mean, I was actually arguing
That's
with people
right.
that I won the game because they didn't see it on television. And by the way, nobody was left in the stands either. So you can take things too seriously. That's all I'm trying to tell you. And I'll get out of the way and start answering questions. Start asking questions.
Tell your friends at the ACC Network, if we're tied, stick with us, because that's gonna be the best overtime they've ever seen in their lives. Because we're definitely pulling out the trick plays for opportunities.
They will stick around. This is by the way, Andy, let's talk about the world of college football for a second. And because you're a Florida guy, the Georgia fans are calling up, and they're about to win another national championship in the spring. What do you have to say about the Dogs' chances this year?
I think this is a good chance for them. Things set up pretty well if you look at the schedule, because the West is going to be a bloodbath, but they avoid Alabama, Texas A&M, and LSU. And I know people are saying, LSU wasn't very good last year. I think LSU is due for a pretty big bounce back. And the fact that Florida has to play LSU and Alabama, I think, makes the road pretty tough for the Gators. So, you know, Georgia, in terms of just how things set up for them, it's pretty nice. And also, if you look at the fact that they feel comfortable with the quarterback they have with JT Daniels, they bring back a lot of talent. I do think they should feel pretty good about their chances. Now, if things don't work out the way they want this year, and I'm not saying win the national title, but be competitive, win the East, either win the SEC or be darn close to it, then they should get mad. But as long as they're doing that, I think they're fine. The Florida fans are getting all over Georgia because Florida beat them last year. It was a really good Florida team. It was the best Florida team probably since 2009. I don't know that Florida is going to be able to replicate that this year. I think Georgia is going to be quite a bit better. So they have every opportunity here. Now, if they don't do that, let's say Florida wins the East, Florida beats them in Jacksonville, then they should start getting pretty mad. They should start saying, okay, what are we doing here? But I really do think things set up pretty well for them. And I realize that's probably not the best way to look at it, where you're just looking at the schedule and the road. But as roads go in the SEC, that's about as easy as it's going to get, because the road through the West for the teams that want to win the West is really hard, and Florida's road is really hard. So I think that's one of those deals where Georgia should feel pretty good about it. You got the schedule up there. They play Clemson, obviously, first. I don't even think they have to win that game to make the playoff, but it'll be a great measuring stick for them. And if they do win it, it sort of catapults them into the season.
If not Alabama in the West, then
A&M or LSU. And I know, that's a kind of a cop-out, but I don't know which one of those winds up being better. I'm curious to see how the Texas A&M quarterback race works out, because you've got Haynes King, who's kind of a dual threat type guy. Would skill set probably more similar to Kellen Mond. And then you've got Zach Calzada, who throws, he's got the cannon arm. But I like what A&M has offensively, just because there's some really versatile weapons. And I'm talking about Anaya Smith and Devon Achain. They're these backs that can also be receivers, and they're just very exciting. And they're going to be a tough out. They're going to be tough to defend. LSU, look at all they bring back. Basically, they got down to the studs before they went to Gainesville last year. They go ahead and win that game. So that tells you that the group coming back has a little gumption. So they've got talent in that group. And then it looks like they've corrected the mistakes they made in terms of hiring assistants last year. And if that's the case, if this new group clicks, you know, Jake Pete's on offense, it's friend of Joe Brady. I realize that it's oversimplifying, but if he can run an offense that is similar to what Joe Brady ran, they've got options at quarterback. I think, you know, they got a few guys that can play. I think Miles Brennan has proven it. You saw from Max Johnson at the end of the season that he could be pretty good. So they have enough to play against anybody. And so I think the West is going to be really interesting, because you look at what Alabama loses, and obviously Alabama is going to be really good no matter what. I especially like Alabama's defensive line next year, but it feels like there's a better chance for the field this year than there did going into last year. It felt like Alabama was just going to steamroll everyone last year.
Andy, off the field in Baton Rouge, how concerned should they be down there? Fans, I should say, because I wouldn't want to gauge or guess the administration about the noise coming out of USA Today, the Baton Rouge paper. I mean, there is a lot going on down there.
Just get it fixed. I mean, they said it themselves when that Hush Blackwell report came out, that they had some serious problems that they needed to address. Get it fixed. Don't, like, when someone who claims that they've been sexually assaulted can't get their own police report, you got a problem. You know, you need to fix that. And so that's really all they can do going forward. They've handled these situations pretty terribly, and they've admitted that. So get it fixed.
Andy Staples, before you go, let's talk about maybe some unexpected teams in the SEC. We know the favorites. We've already identified Georgia, clearly Alabama, LSU, and A&M. I mean, is there somebody, and I'm not saying to win it all, but is there somebody that could maybe really surprise or beat expectations?
Well, we've mentioned Florida, and I'm really curious to see what the offense looks like with Emory Jones running it. You know, they switched to a very pass-heavy offense, and if you go through Dan Mullen's history, he's always been more of a run-heavy type coach, but he kind of goes with what works. And so I'm interested to see what they do with an offense that probably is going to be a little better on the ground, because the offensive line should be a little bit better. We'll see when DeMarcus Bowman, the transfer from Clemson, if he can kind of charge up that running game. But I think they will look different, but could still be pretty good. The other team out of the West that I want to see, and I want to see every game they play, is Ole Miss. I feel like they're going to be potentially could win every game they play, or they could have just a, you know, 9-interception meltdown. But they are going to be probably the most fun team to watch. And I really enjoy watching Matt Corral. You know, I was talking on my podcast, we were talking about guys that could really insert themselves into the conversation for the NFL draft next year. And there's not a lot of quarterbacks that we're looking at as, oh, this guy's a first rounder. I want to see what Matt Corral does this year. I want to see how much he improves, because his arm's great. He's athletic enough to keep plays alive. He's really fun to watch. Maybe he's that guy. And I just feel like every game that Ole Miss plays is going to be appointment television.
As you are. Andy, thank you for being here. We'll tune over on ACC on Saturday. Always great to talk to Andy Staples of The Athletic, and we are going to head to the break and get your phone calls rolling here in a moment at 855-242-7285. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Baseball Friday night, a good one. Only the number 2 and 3 teams in the country, Arkansas and Ole Miss, 7 p.m. Shannon is up next in Florida. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I had 2 questions for you. One is, do you see Alabama winning another national championship in a row?
It's entirely possible, yes.
And the next one is, what has happened to Charles from Milltown?
Charles is still around. He called us maybe three or four months ago, and I asked him why he was such a sporadic caller, and since he didn't really understand what sporadic meant, he never gave a good answer.
Yeah, I've not heard from him in so long. I just wondered if he's still alive.
Yeah, no, he is. We will tell you when Charles passes on. That would be a reason to lower the flags. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Kevin, who is in Chicago. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Well, you know, I've got my tickets for the fall game down at Mizzou, and we're playing a pretty good A&M team, I think. I mean, it'll be interesting to see about Kellen Mond, I think. But I don't know. I was just kind of curious as to your thoughts how this Eli Drinkwitz, second-year season pans out for Mizzou. Because I think, it's kind of a lot of hype in Columbia, St. Louis. And, you know, I think this season with the fans in the stands, we're going to really see what this Tiger team is capable of.
I agree. I don't think it's hype. I think it's legitimate when you consider what he did in 1 year. And quite frankly, it could have been better. They had a lot of issues, a lot of games moved around. I think he has a tremendous staff, and especially the defense is going to get a lot better. And I think Missouri is one of those breakout teams that could, maybe not win the champ, maybe not win the division, but maybe wreck somebody else's hopes.
I agree. Yeah, I think a team like Florida or Georgia, who Missouri has played well, definitely certain seasons when they've played well, they've kind of done that, I think. And, we've won the East a couple times, that's pretty crazy to see this program kind of progress the way we have. And I think this year is going to be another step in the right direction.
Well, great to hear from you. Thank you very much for the call. Ken is up next. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Paul. I've been out of the loop lately due to illness, and I'm got a couple of questions about men's and women's basketball at Auburn. I know they had that self-imposed penalty last year due to the investigation. What's the status of that thing? How long is it going to go on? Do you know anything?
Ken, I don't. And, it's interesting today. And, there have been three schools that are running parallel, maybe LSU, a fourth. You have Kansas, Arizona, LSU and Auburn. Kansas has pretty much said nothing is ever going to happen to Bill Self. Arizona, interestingly, fired Sean Miller today. That's a very significant development because it didn't. This investigation started 3.5 years ago, and it took this long for them to dump him, which could tell you that it's getting close. But I have no idea. I will tell you this: the times I've spoken to Bruce Pearl, He has taken responsibility of what he can take responsibility for, but I've never seen him waver in terms of his defense of his role in the program. And I don't want to say he wouldn't be concerned. Of course he's concerned. But if the school took the sanctions last year, that would be an indicator that maybe they think this is where it stops. I know a lot of people don't believe that, but I'm just trying to give you the state of mind of the university.
Yeah. Well, okay, my second question is about women's basketball. Have they hired a coach yet?
Yes, they have. I believe they hired an assistant from Mississippi State. I'll double check that. I saw the hire the other day, and it kind of went right past my eyes. But I will they have made a hire. They have made a decision, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay, appreciate the information.
Thank you. Nice of you to call. Good fan there. Matt is up next in Texas. Hey, Matt.
How you doing today, Mr. Paul Palmer? How you doing today, brother?
What is going on in your life, Matt? Tell us about it.
I want to talk to you about Texas A&M football and Kellen Mond NFL draft. Paul, I think he's going to be a pretty good quarterback in the NFL.
Do you?
I want to ask you, what do you think he's going to go in the NFL, Paul?
I really don't know, Matt. I was on a show this morning talking about the draft, and I know we talked about four or five or six quarterbacks. I have not seen a very high position for him. Have you?
No, I haven't seen much about Kellen Mond, but I'm also pumped about this up year college football season with Texas A&M. Paul, I think I'm going to wreck this year's college football. I think Texas A&M is up for a good season this year. I think we're not going to finish number two this year. I think we're going to finish number one. I agree with Jimbo Fisher.
Well, you may be right.
I think we're going to go.
I think, Matt, you got to beat Alabama, though. Don't forget that. Daryl is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Daryl.
Hello, Paul. I can tell you right now, ain't none of them SEC teams going to beat Alabama. Right? And Alabama is going to win the state championship again, national championship again, Paul. You know that.
Well, I don't know that. I think it's certainly reasonable to think if you look at the fact that Alabama wins the championship about every 2.7 years. No, they don't win it every year.
But they're close, though, ain't they?
Well, yeah, that's not what you said, though. I mean, there's a difference.
Yeah, I know what I said.
There's a difference between.
No, Alabama is.
You said they're going to win.
I like Alabama football, but I'm a Kentucky basketball fan.
That's wonderful.
You want to know the truth?
But you're. I don't know. I mean, I really have. You know, it's a little bit early to make a call, but I think Alabama will be in the running. I don't think their chances are nearly as good this year as they were last year. I'll tell you that.
No. Well, how about the quarterback position?
Let me ask you a question. Why are you so convinced Alabama's going to win, Daryl?
Because I know they are. I watch a lot of
no,
games.
No. Give Daryl.
9 or 10 years.
Daryl, do you want to have a conversation or do you want to scream? What? Give me a specific reason why you think Alabama's going to win this year.
Well, I think, Paul, why they're going to win again, because they didn't lose that many players.
Hey, Daryl, hold on a second. Are you on the same planet that I am?
Yes, I am.
They're not going to lose a lot of players. They will lose. They may have four players in the first eight in the NFL draft. What are you talking about?
I understand that, but look what's coming up to play ball with, Mo.
No, you just got through saying they're not going to lose a lot of players. I don't know if anybody in the history of football, with the possible exception of LSU 2 years ago, is going to lose more players that mattered.
Well, you're probably right there, but I'm picking Alabama to win it all again. I am.
And you probably picked Kentucky to win it all this year in basketball, right? Right. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We are off and running here on a Wednesday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, welcome back. Glad you're here on a Wednesday afternoon. Let's get back to our calls, and we'll talk to the commissioner of the AAC in a few minutes. Larry in South Carolina. Hello, Larry.
Hello, Paul. First-time caller. View your show often.
Thank you.
And love it. 88 years old, so I sit on the sofa video afternoon Monday through Friday watching your show, and I tape it when I'm not able to watch it. And with the Masters coming up here Thursday and Friday, I don't think I'll be watching.
Let me make this announcement, Larry. We will grant a waiver to our most loyal listeners on Thursday and Friday, and I can assure you it will be on here as well.
Well, I wanted to ask you a question. I'm an avid University of Georgia fan.
Sure.
I followed them. I got interested in them in the 40s. My brother was at the University of Georgia at that time, and they had some very good football players back then, and I thought they had a national championship. But my question to you, because and his relevancy is based on one of your earlier callers today, and you answered him with Georgia hasn't won in about 40 years. Number one in about 40 years.
Correct.
And I wondered how many years the University of Georgia was number one, because not sure whether they write the teams back in the 40s, but Georgia, I think, would have been number one if they did, because I can remember beating UCLA in the Rose Bowl back in the 40s, 9-0. And they had pretty fair.
Yeah, let me – I looked it up, and, I mean, there is a lot of discrepancy. But in terms of what I would call legitimate national championships, Georgia does not – I mean, they have in 42, they beat UCLA in the Rose Bowl, and they were 11-1. They claimed they won – the Sagarin, they did not win the wire service ones in 42. So I'm sure that's what you're thinking about.
Right. That is what I was thinking about. And then in about 45 or 46.
Yeah.
With Charlie.
Yeah, 46, they were undefeated in 46. 11-0 and won the Sugar Bowl, and
Right.
Charlie Trippi was about, and based on what I'm reading, and it looked like Notre Dame won the majority of the polls that year, but Georgia picked up one. In 42, I'm trying to think who else would have been number one in the country. I'll see if I can dig that up. But, I mean, your memory is pretty good. I mean, it's not pretty good. It's unbelievable.
Well, thank you. I sort of, in my early days, I had ambitions to do what you are doing.
Really?
And I sure did. I started in the newspaper business, got into the television business later, and then found that I wasn't good enough in the radio television business and went in another direction. But my first love was sportscasting. I surely... miss it, so I follow sports very closely.
Larry, what did you do in the newspaper business?
Well, I started in high school covering high school football,
right,
for Lanier High in Macon, Georgia, and worked for the sports editor there, covered the high. I started the first articles I wrote for the Macon Telegraph and News. We're covering Lanier High football.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I got paid 15 cents an inch. For what? 15 cents an inch for what got published. And the most important thing to me was getting a byline.
Oh, absolutely. No. people don't realize... that was I used to wake up run out, grab the newspaper, and if my name was there, it didn't matter what they paid me.
Right.
What did you do as a sportscaster?
Well, I covered color first in high school. I worked with a radio station in Macon, Georgia, and I did the color for football and basketball. And when I went on to college, I continued to do that. I went into service and served a couple of years in service in the Army. Came back to Macon, Georgia, and tried to get a job with the radio television station. And nothing was available, so I... and I was living at home, and I came home from playing golf one day, and my mother told me to call the general manager at the station where I'd worked, and he asked me if I could do play-by-play baseball, and I said sure, and he told me, well, you beat out at the ballpark, Luther Williams Ballpark in Macon, Georgia, and I'll see how you can do. I want to give you an opportunity to audition. And so I went down. He did the first three innings. He gave me the mic after the first three innings. He went out in the car to listen to me and came back in. I was going to give him the microphone, and he told me to keep it. And so he left a few minutes later.
That is great.
When the other guy on the radio. I gave him the commercial between the
Larry, I hate to jump in, but we're about to run out of time. I'm sure you've heard that before as a broadcaster, but thank you for sharing your story. I thoroughly enjoyed it. We will be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.